With over 200 flavor notes to discover, Woodford Reserve is more than just a spirit. It's a spectacle for the senses. Toast to 150 years of the Kentucky Derby with the best bet in bourbon. Raise a glass of Woodford Reserve on this monumental celebration.
Live from State Street in the heart of Chicago, you are listening to the new home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago. And this is Carmen and Yurko, WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
White swims in and finishes. White into the lane, cups it in. Three. Here's White spinning between two. What a finish from the twirling Kobe White. White in the open floor. White to the rim. Here's White. He's gonna shake Bogdanovich. He does. White will fire. You bet.
Yeah, Kobe dazzled for the hometown fans a couple of nights ago. Now the Bulls take the show on the road like they did last year to Miami. Two-point dog tonight against the Heat on South Beach. No Jimmy Butler for Miami. Alex Caruso, if he plays, is going to be pretty limited. Kobe's total is 20.5. I told you, I like the Bam over 21.5. Kobe over 20.5. I could get on board with that, I think, Yurk. Minus 110. I can get on board with Kobe over 20.5.
I have a feeling you can.
Yeah, I like that.
Somebody's got to score, right?
Sylvie pointed out that last year in the first playing game against the Raptors, Zach had a monster game. I think he had 39, and then he came crashing back down to earth, as unfortunately Zach Levine often does, with like a 15-point performance in the loss at Miami a year ago. Let's see if Kobe can do a little bit better. Again, not that all of it matters too much in the end other than a couple of home playoff games. And listen, the building was really energetic. It was loud. It was energetic. Dare I say it was rocking the other night. And I would anticipate the exact same thing even if the Bulls have no chance against the Boston Celtics. But they'll get a couple of home playoff games. I'm just more curious to see what happens later this summer and how this team decides to attack the offseason and what is the direction going to be. Honestly, that's like the only really sort of interesting
part of where
the Bulls are going. Yes, of course.
They're going to stand pat, as is their want, and as is what they plan, what they've always done here now with this group.
I think that's the minus 125 favorite.
Yeah,
now.
Standing pat, not like, doing a damn thing.
Yeah, we won't trade anybody. We'll just, you know, we're good.
Standing pat doesn't mean to do anything with Pat Williams either. Okay. Just means standing pat, not doing a darn thing.
Yeah.
That's the. And so what's to expect? There's not going to be an exciting offseason.
I don't think. I don't know. But I'm curious. I'm interested.
If they qualify for the playoffs, they'll pick, what, 15th?
You pick out of the lottery, yeah.
Right. You'll pick 15th.
Yeah.
There'll be a first-round exit. They'll lose to the Boston Celtics. They'll have a worse record than the team in the West that gets eliminated in the 8th seed. And then you're 15th, right? Geez. That's where you draft.
That's not good. Yeah, because there's 14 lottery teams.
Yes.
John's in Phoenix. What's up, John?
Hey, boys. Thanks for having me on. And, Yurk, I agree with you. What are they going to do in the offseason? Nothing. The same thing they've done the past 3 years. It'll be a big blah. You know, nothing to write home about. But what I was calling in about is, so tonight's game, the Bulls may be a dog. They have a fighter's, you know, a puncher's chance to win. I would give them like a 60-40 shot, right? But here's where I'm hesitant. I have rarely seen this year, or I could even probably go as far as the past 2 to 3 years, where the Bulls string together back-to-back really good performances. I think Carm, you may have mentioned Zach had a monster game against Toronto.
Yeah.
And then last year against the Heat, he played absolutely abysmal. It was terrible. So to expect something different, especially in Miami, we have a 19-22 road record on the season. I think we split the series with them, you know, 2-2. It's not, you know, I'm trying to be hopeful, but to your guys' point, what are we really winning? Get swept by Boston? You know, in an embarrassing fashion. So I would almost rather just see them lose and then waste a draft pick like I'm sure they'll do every year and just start up next year hoping they can make the play-in tournament again because that seems to be what Reinsdorf wants to do.
Thanks for letting me
join, boys.
You got it, John. Thanks, man. Yeah, that's a terrible way to approach these NBA seasons right now. The Bulls and Heat haven't played, if you can believe it, Yurk. You know, John mentioned those four games they played. They split. He's right. Each team won two. They haven't played since December.
Wow.
Isn't that kind of weird? They played all four of their games, same conference, obviously, all four of their games against one another between November 18th and December 16th. So these two teams haven't seen each other in forever. Al's in Evanston. What's going on, Al?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Great.
Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
Kind of going off what that previous caller had said, I can see this being the most Reinsdorf move, drafting Bronny, doing some type of sign-and-trade to get LeBron for LaVine. I mean, if you look at it, pretty much LeBron's Alonzo and LaVine combo player other. I mean, anyway, but he's better, obviously. Your thoughts on that? And, hey, man, I don't get the Swifty stuff either. My wife's a big fan, listens to her all the time. I'm a Niners fan, so maybe I'm a little biased on it. But you better be careful because the Swifties will come after you if they hear you talking any type of nonsense.
Yeah, well, we haven't talked too much nonsense. We actually, I think most of us don't mind listening to Taylor. It's fine. That's funny. He's a Niner fan. He's a little biased. A couple things that he talked about. Okay, hold on, Al. Let's do both. Let's do Bulls and let's do Taylor. LeBron's not leaving L.A., right? Is he?
I wouldn't think he would.
Or California at this point? Like, LeBron's not coming to Chicago with
he's
or without
He's in his
Bronny.
Comfort zone. Yeah, that's where he's at. Zone. Yeah.
I do find it interesting to see what happens with Bronny come the draft time. Like, what a team does. Do the Lakers have to draft him at some point? Is Bronny projected to be a first-round pick, you guys? I don't think so. Right, Chris?
No, he's not.
No way. I mean, he didn't even really play as a freshman all that much, if I'm not mistaken.
He also might just transfer somewhere. He might not go into the draft process.
Still
I'm guessing he'll attend some draft pre-camp stuff, but
get a feel for where he might end up going and then say, you know what, I'll just transfer out.
Have you heard the new conspiracy that they're claiming that the coach at USC wasn't using him the right way?
Who was it? Enfield, right?
Enfield,
Enfield?
So if there's, you know, a coach out there that can use him the right way, maybe he would have had a better season. It's all crap.
It's out of
the kid stinks.
A lot of crap, right? Yeah.
And you know what's annoying about it? Here's a soapbox, the thought
Go
on
ahead,
this.
Go ahead, please.
What's annoying about it is LeBron's out there touting the kid, and then when the pushback is negative, saying ESPN shouldn't put him on draft boards, they shouldn't remove him off of draft boards for a prospect, let the kid be a kid. Bron, you're the one that said that this kid could play in the NBA back in October, and he could be on the Lakers helping you then.
You can't have it both ways.
You can't build him up as some prospect that could be an NBA player even though he hasn't stepped foot on a college court yet and then cry and blame the media when he's removed from draft boards.
Can't have that both ways, I agree.
But LeBron does that with everything, and that's why he's annoying, and that's why Michael's the best there. Six rings.
Six rings. He does do that with everything. That's always kind of been LeBron's thing.
Boo-hoo.
You know?
They're ripping the kid because he's taking off draft boards. You're the one that said he should be in the NBA.
Yeah. Can't have that both ways. You can't.
Let the kid be a kid. Oh, I almost swore.
You be careful.
You're hot. Chris is hot about it.
It's so obnoxious. And then you have the LeBron sycophants who just are just slurping anything LeBron.
Yeah.
You got Nick Wright out there with his haircut and the LeBron nonsense. It's just annoying. Michael's the best there.
Yeah. Take that.
Shit.
You know, his sycophants are the young kids.
Write an album about it.
The young write an album. The young kids, too, are the sycophants. I mean, they don't, you know.
They're not bright. They're not bright.
I can't get through
them. I'm not blaming them. They don't
know. I can't get through to them, you guys.
They're dumb. Kids are dumb.
Kids are dumb. They're not bright.
Yeah, kids are dumb. Yes, kids are dumb, but also, how many old people have you talked to that don't think Jordan was the best?
That's very true, Adam.
You know, like we're the ones
Oscar Robertson was the best.
Yeah, like we say Jordan's the best. They say LeBron's the best.
Yeah.
They're, the next generation will say the next guy's the best.
You're not wrong. I had these arguments when I was young with the older crowd that would say, well, Oscar Robertson was better than Michael. You don't know because you didn't see Oscar. I'm like, well, that's true. And maybe, or like John Havlicek was better. I find that hard to believe. Sorry.
Hondo? You don't believe in Hondo?
You know, or the 60s, you know, Celtics would have destroyed the 90s Bulls. I doubt it. But, you know, you're right. We had these arguments. These were the things we had to debate, and you can't really win it. I didn't see Oscar Robertson play.
I didn't
see John Havlicek
play.
I met Oscar Robertson, too, because of Norm.
Yeah.
100%.
Yes.
And Oscar couldn't have been a nicer man. And I've seen Oscar Robertson's stats, and they're mind-boggling for the era. They really are.
Yes, they are. Yeah.
You know, averaging a triple-double today the pace at which the game is played, the tempo, the style, everything.
Makes it easier.
Yes, Yerk.
Yes.
And I don't want to, like, necessarily diminish it. You have to obviously be amazing to average a triple-double over the course of the season. But the triple-double, it's not nearly as meaningful as it once was. That Oscar did it in the era in which he played is remarkable. So maybe those people have some ground to stand on, because we heard that a lot when we were young. Yerk, oh, no, you guys don't know. Michael's good, but he'll never be as good as Oscar Robertson. So, yeah, these debates happen. They will continue to happen forever. And there'll be somebody, guess what? Guess what? 25 years from now, there's going to be someone else that's going to come along. And all the young people who say, well, LeBron's better than Michael, are going to, and the new guy is going to be talked about, and they're going to say, no, but he's not as good as LeBron. You guys don't know because you didn't see LeBron play. This is the perpetual circle.
It will always work against Jordan that his career was essentially 13 seasons.
That's true.
It will always work against him, and that he played in college basketball.
He played.
You know, LeBron didn't play college basketball, so you got prime LeBron years before you could get prime Michael years, because he played at North Carolina.
Yes.
So, like, the 13 seasons is going to skew any stat argument.
But I try to tell the kids that.
Watch.
You had to see it. I said, guys, you have to get away from pure counting stats, and you have to look at, like, rate statistics. Because that adds context. It's impressive that LeBron has played as long as he's played. That is impressive. But, of course, his counting stats are going to dwarf some of the other great players that we talk about because of the longevity. And while that's impressive, you have to look at rate statistics to really understand, like, the nuance in those numbers,
right?
You know, that LeBron is pushing 70,000 career minutes is remarkable.
Oh, yeah.
It is. But, like, you can't compare. Michael averaged 30. What did Michael average for his career? 31 a game, I think, right?
That's
the highest in NBA history.
Yes.
31 a game. Nobody's ever done that.
How many years did he lead the league in scoring?
Oh, God, like nine or something? Yeah.
Just imagine if they had that good HGH back in the day.
Right? Yeah.
What is he in championships?
Allegedly.
Michael went 6-for-6.
6-0.
6-0.
Okay.
I mean, not even that. Like, think of it this way. Imagine if we had the sleep science that we have now.
Oh, please.
That's the thing where LeBron and the generations that follow LeBron, the Lucas, the Giannis, as we move forward, Michael was out at night.
An animal.
He was playing an on and off the court, where these guys have a catered life to them, where they only do things where they're helping their basketball careers.
Listen,
it goes back to this, right? Like, remember during, which coincidentally, The Last Dance, I believe, premiered today, 4 years ago.
Did it?
I saw something online.
Actually,
I think so. It was today. I thought I saw something online about it today. But when he was talking, we were talking to the trainer and everything like that, and they would use like PVC pipes to roll out his muscles. These dudes have like Theraguns on the bench, just under their seats, like working on their muscles during games.
Think about this. Think about what we know about Michael's competitiveness, right? Now, Michael is an animal when it came to partying and carousing. I think we're not, you know, speaking out of turn here. The whole world knows that.
He's the goat.
He's the goat at both. Michael Jordan was an animal.
That's what makes him better.
Take that, LeBron. Take that, LeBron.
I mean, he was an animal. Now, tell me this, though. Knowing Michael's competitiveness, if he saw everybody else into this specific type of training, sleeping, eating, and if he saw any advantage to be gained, you don't think he would have taken it? Of course he would have. He would have. Something tells me we wouldn't have all those
Carmen's
JR
right.
stories.
Carmen's right.
I'm telling you guys, we wouldn't have all. And those JR stories are great, because JR will tell you stories about playing 36 with him, drinking a case of Bud Light, and then Michael would go and drop 40. Like, no.
That's great.
It's incredible. But I'm telling you, if Michael saw the way everybody else trained, and if he felt like he was losing something or not, if he felt like there was an advantage to be gained, I don't think Michael's on the golf course at Sunset Ridge with Chelly and JR until 3:15. You're playing 36 holes, you're drinking a case of Bud Light. Like, you know, and think about how much better he could have even possibly been.
I agree with you. I also think that social media has something to do with it, too. Yeah. Where if you would have had the, like, if Michael would have had a bad game and someone would have tweeted a picture of, look, he's playing 36
right
beforehand, like, then I think that also coupled in with him having the science and everything. But we got these stories all after the fact.
It is amazing that, like, he could play 36 holes, drink a case of beer, lose like 15 grand to JR,
yeah,
and then go, give me a chance to make my money back. I'll bet you I get 50 tonight. And then, like, he'll just go and get 50. That is incredible.
His negative stuff did come from the casinos, though.
That's true.
When he was at the casinos gambling, yeah, that's where he did get a little bit of a blowback.
That's true. There was a little bit.
And of course, not so much.
And those stories are why it's different. Like, that's the thing that, Carm, you're talking to your son and his friends, and they say that they're LeBron guys. It's like, y'all realize that LeBron only basketballed?
Should I tell them about,
like,
Michael?
No, no, seriously, that's the legend of Michael.
Let me tell you guys.
He was so great that he was able to do all of this other stuff that should take your focus away from being the best basketball player in the world, and he still was ripping faces off at night on the court just being incredible while doing everything else.
Here's when you're going to win the argument,
phenomenal,
right? The first time Gio goes away to school, he comes back, he goes out with his friends, he's a little hungover the next day.
Now go drop 50.
Now go drop 50.
That's why Jordan was better than LeBron, because he did it hungover.
Go drop 45 in a playoff game. Go ahead. Let's go see you do it. Listen to the Barkley story about Barcelona. You know, or a lot of the stories about Barcelona.
And the fun they had.
Yeah, and it is kind of remarkable. You're like, wait, how did he do it? He's just a machine. All right, we'll grab some calls. People want to have fun with this. 312-332-3776. Our last caller, was it Al? He brought up the Bulls point and the Taylor point, the Taylor Swift thing. Boy, I tell you, man, people have their thing. We like sports. We dissect this stuff ad nauseum. I mean, think about the way we've talked about the NFL draft and the different prognostications and the stats that we look at. And, you know, boy, the poring over the Taylor lyrics is like, who's she talking about? What does she mean? And why is she going after, who's his name? Matt Healy? Boy, they pour over it like we're dissecting the draft, you guys. But, you know,
what do we do after a Bears game?
That's what I'm saying. Like,
spend a full week,
yeah,
dissecting
different strokes. Right? You're at 100%. Like all the silly thing. People probably listen to that. Like, boy, those guys dissect a lot of silly stuff. And then I'm like, how are they're pouring over Taylor's lyrics? Right? This is what we do. They're pouring over Taylor's lyrics, wondering what she means about the boy that broke his toys. Is that Healy? Is that Travis? Is it somebody else? It's Carmen in New York. We'll be right back.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Instagram at ESPN_Chicago. Carmen and Yurko are back.
No, no, no.
This is ESPN Chicago, Chicago's Home for Sports.
No.
Come on. Speaking of Michael, who knows what happened? 30. Oh, God, this is just like, I feel so old when stuff like this comes up, you guys. Who knows what happened 38 years ago tomorrow? I can't believe it's 38 years ago because I remember it.
38 years ago tomorrow.
38 years ago tomorrow is the anniversary of what?
63-point game. Boom. Michael Jordan.
Boom, boom, boom. Double overtime at the Garden in Boston.
That's right.
Michael drops what is still a playoff record, 63. That was a double overtime game. Believe it or not, the Bulls lost. They got swept in that series.
They did.
That 86 Celtics team that 86 Celtics team is in the running for, you know, one of the greatest teams of all time. It's fair to say that.
Sure.
So even with Michael's heroics, they couldn't even win a game. Back then, the first round was a best of five. They got swept pretty easily by the Celtics. Although I shouldn't say all that easily. When a guy drops 63 on you and you need double overtime and you're one of the greatest teams ever, it's pretty incredible. I mean, the video, if you remember watching it, if you just look at video of it, I mean, the Celtics had no answer. No matter what they tried, no matter what they did, they couldn't believe it. Larry Bird spoke in effusive praise after it about, like, this cat's different. Like, this guy's different. This is a different guy. And he's Larry Bird. And they were the Celtics.
Right.
That's 38 years ago tomorrow, Yerk.
This cat's different.
Like, that's right. That's kind of like the moment when people were like, wait a minute, this is something else. Like, this is not normal. And remember, that was the year he was hurt.
And he came back.
Like, think about that.
And he wanted to play, and Jerry wanted to rest him.
Yeah. I believe that's true, Yerk. That he sort of had to force his way back into the lineup late. Michael played 18 games that year. It was the only time he was ever hurt, when he broke his foot.
Right. He didn't understand the theory of not playing.
Didn't understand.
It doesn't matter if you play. It won't. It mattered.
Didn't understand.
It mattered to him.
And so Michael barely played that year. He came back late. He came back in March that year. And a month later, he's dropping 63 on the road against one of the great teams of the 80s, one of the great individual Celtic teams of all time. That's Michael. One thing, this is like maybe minutia. You guys will make fun of me probably, but is Basketball Reference like Wikipedia, where anybody can go edit the nickname portion?
I don't know.
You guys ever notice, like, I don't know what made me think of this.
Whose nickname is in there?
Okay, so like Michael, Mike, Air Jordan, MJ. Yeah, that's basically, he was Air Jordan, MJ.
Yeah.
His airness, okay, I'll give you that. Now, they also have on here Money, Black Cat, Mr. June, Goat, Superman, Captain Marvel, and Black Jesus. I got news for you. No, nobody ever once called Michael Jordan Captain Marvel.
Never. Ever.
Where is that? Like, can anybody go in and edit that? Like, what, Captain Marvel? Nobody ever called Michael Jordan Black Jesus or Superman.
Oh, no, you're wrong there. I've definitely heard people call him Black Jesus. I've definitely seen and heard that.
Not when we were a kid. Not when he was playing. Marv Albert never said, oh, and Black Jesus.
No, not Marv Albert. I mean, come on. Not Marv Albert.
Black Jesus. Superman. Superman? Who?
I've definitely heard Black Jesus.
Captain Marvel?
No, never Captain Marvel. That. Black Carmen. Jesus, I've heard too.
Can anybody go in and edit that?
You're wrong.
Who called him Black
Jesus? There are multiple articles that say
Captain Marvel?
Before he was his airness and all that and everything
Captain
else.
Captain Marvel?
He was nicknamed Captain Marvel, was first given the name by fans and analysts.
When?
Before he became his airness, before he became Air Jordan.
Do you
Back
remember
in the
that
mid-'80s
Captain
when Michael
Marvel?
Jordan first entered the NBA, he wasn't known as Air Jordan. Commentators and later fans called Jordan Captain Marvel because even though he was a young player, he was already more dominant than 90% of the players during the NBA during their time.
I've never heard that.
And it says that Charles Barkley coined the name Black Cat for him.
Boy, Carm, you might have to turn in your basketball card right there.
I never heard that ever. I don't remember that, Carm.
I think you're done.
Do you remember Captain Marvel?
I don't, but this taps for your basketball.
I never heard that.
Carm, I think you're done, man.
I've never heard that. Superman, I don't remember Michael ever being referred to as Superman. Do you? I can't.
I'm respecting the song right now.
I don't remember that.
It's a song to celebrate the death of your basketball knowledge.
I never remember that.
Your nickname knowledge is gone.
His airness, yes.
The problem is when I search for Michael Jordan and Superman, it comes up as a bunch of rumors for Michael B. Jordan being Superman.
I never, ever remember anybody ever referring to him in any scenario as Superman.
Didn't know you were such a LeBron guy.
I just don't remember that. I don't remember anybody ever saying Mr. June. I mean, do you?
No.
No, but it makes sense.
I know it makes sense, Chris, but I mean, like, we didn't walk around being like,
oh. The phones are ringing off the hook, too. Apparently, Reggie Miller used to call him Black Jesus all the time.
Yeah, Black Jesus, I get.
See, the Black Jesus,
Black Jesus is fine. And you're right. And that's true. I mean, Black Jesus is fine.
Someone in the Twitch chat said Johnny Red Kerr called him Superman all the time.
I never remember Johnny calling him Superman.
Oh, no, Carm.
I have an excuse.
I never remember that.
Give me your basketball card. Come on, you used to host pre and post. Not anymore. We're taking that off the resume.
I mean, I guess like if you're saying like Superman left the building.
Did you forget?
I don't know. Maybe. I've never.
What did Dick Versace call Michael Jordan?
I don't know.
Pete Gillen.
Man,
I don't ever remember it.
Chris is right. I think you're officially a LeBron guy now.
I'll never be a LeBron guy.
I don't know.
LeBron can be number two. I don't ever remember like hearing.
I don't
hearing
even know if I can work with him anymore.
It's a tough truth to face, right, Yerk?
I guess it is. I just don't recall it. I really don't. I'm like, no, we never said anything but MJ, and like maybe we didn't even say it. Like an Air Jordan. I mean, I just don't remember it. I don't know. Taylor's in Hyde Park. What's up, Taylor?
Yo, what's up, guys? This is a sad thing to say, man, but Michael's number two. It's not even close. LeBron's always been number one.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to tell you why. In the 90s, Michael played in one of the worst eras of basketball. One of the worst eras of basketball in the 90s. The era was so bad, they had to move the three-point line closer because no one could score on points. Okay? That is one of the main reasons why he was so dominant. Guys couldn't score any points at all in that era. So I know it's our childhood era of the 90s and whatnot. So I get it. It's the 90s. I get it. But it was one of the worst eras of basketball.
Supersize it.
Yeah. Are you getting a supersize meal?
No, of course not. Getting some, you know, for the wife. You know, she's hungry, man.
I can understand that.
Somebody's saying in the background, right, supersize it.
The reason the scoring was off because they actually played defense back in the day.
I wouldn't say they actually played defense.
That's not true, though.
More physical.
They played defense.
They were allowed to be more physical.
Yes.
I will say that.
Those guys could not score points, which is why the three-point line got moved closer. Not to mention, when Michael left the Bulls, they won 55 games. This team was way better than any team LeBron's ever played on. And that's why I don't understand this argument. LeBron is easily the greatest scorer of the basketball, greatest rebounder, and points. 40, 10, and 10,000 points. You can't amass that. 13 years in the league, you got two years to break and play
LeBron's
baseball.
Even the greatest,
totally
are you sure LeBron's even the greatest scorer of his era? You think he's the greatest? I mean, you can't just count those numbers because, again, that's a little unfair to anybody who couldn't manage 70,000 minutes.
What do you mean you can't count those numbers? How can you not count numbers? What are you talking about?
No, like counting, I mean, like a counting staff.
Frank Gore's got 15,000 rushing yards, which puts him, like, in the top five all time.
That's what I mean.
Frank Gore is not a top five running back, like, but he's got 15,000 yards.
That's a counting stat.
Yeah,
that's a counting
stat.
That's Frank Gore's only accomplishment. We're talking about other accomplishments added on to the story.
That's why I said, like, can you even consider LeBron the greatest scorer of his era?
I think so. Of course you can. He's only at 40 years old scoring 25 points a game. Who else is doing that in his era?
I mean, KD's probably a better pure scorer, don't you think?
I think he is one of the better pure scorers in the game, for sure.
That's what I mean. Like, so he's a contemporary of LeBron's. I'd probably say KD was a better scorer than LeBron. LeBron's obviously a better player.
Okay, so now you're okay. So who's a better player?
LeBron, of course.
Okay, why is he a better player?
Well, because of a lot of reasons. I mean, just everything else that he did. But you brought up the scoring. I'm just saying, I wouldn't go so far as to say that, like, you can say LeBron is. I don't know.
Okay,
you brought up the scoring thing, like, and I don't know that he's even the greatest pure scorer. Is there Michael's the best scorer?
But I have one more thing. One more thing about Michael. I'm gonna say this quickly.
Okay.
Michael, y'all talk about him like drinking and playing golf, all this stuff. Michael had the greatest trainer in the history of basketball. And we all know his name.
Tim Grover.
We don't know LeBron's trainer, we don't know Steph Curry's trainer, we don't know KD's trainer. Michael had the greatest trainer in the history of basketball. Michael just walking up to the court, eating Big Macs, drinking beer, and then scoring, you know, 55 points. That was not the case.
Let's be real about that, okay? You can have the greatest whatever. Like, it doesn't make a difference. Michael's the one that's got to do the work.
The hyperbole is crazy.
Michael had to do the work. Nobody could do it for Michael. Michael did the
exactly.
work. It didn't matter who had the greatest of. He was the guy that did it.
I think Tim Grover became famous, Taylor, because nobody else was really doing that then. Like, I don't think Larry Bird had a trainer, you know? Like, he was
exactly.
Well, I don't know.
The greatest coach, greatest GM, and greatest trainer of all time. Okay, you are the greatest
GM.
Player of your era, for sure.
What?
Greatest GM.
Crumb's the greatest GM.
Now I'm hanging up on him.
Now hang up on him.
The greatest GM.
The greatest general manager of what?
But I think you can't say Tim Grover's the greatest trainer ever. He just became super famous because he was one of the first.
It's silly. I don't give anybody credit, but Michael Jordan, he gets the credit for doing what he did.
Black Jesus died so Carm could be a LeBron guy.
I'll never be.
Oh, boy.
But I do think Michael and LeBron are one and two.
Don't be careful. You're going to get Kobe fans coming out of the woodwork here.
I think they have a big lead on everybody else. I think Michael and LeBron have a big lead on everybody else. I don't even know if I'd put Kobe third, Yerk. And I love Kobe. But I don't think I'd put him third.
Save this for June.
Okay. Well, it's basketball season, Adam. I mean, the playoffs are starting after all, you know. Bulls got a play-in game tonight. Okay, we can lunch rush it coming up next. Taylor. 312-332-3776. Surprised like how passionately he called in to defend LeBron and say we're crazy about Michael.
I mean, the only thing he brings up is counting stats.
He tried to make a few other arguments.
Go per season, go per game.
The argument about the 90s is interesting. We can have that debate. It's Carmen and Yurko. We'll be right back.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago. Carmen and Yurko are back. This is Chicago's Home for Sports. ESPN Chicago.
I have heard people make that argument a lot that Taylor was making about the teams that the Bulls beat in the 90s. They beat some great players, man. Charles Barkley is an all-time great player. Patrick Ewing, I think, is an all-time great player.
Malone, Stockton.
Malone and Stockton were all-time great players. That Sonics team may be a little bit fluky.
Detlef. You know?
Yeah, Detlef. They didn't really have an all-time great player. I mean, Kemp was good, but not like an all-time great, right?
Was Gary Payton on that
team? Gary Payton was.
Was the glove on that team?
He was.
We both thought you were talking about Taylor Swift.
That is true.
How did you think I was talking about Taylor
Swift? When you started off Taylor. The segment.
You said Taylor.
You said Taylor.
You just said Taylor.
It's just on the brain.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's just
on the brain. Taylor and Hyde Park. No. Taylor and Hyde Park, you talked about the teams that the Bulls beat.
I know, but in both of our minds, we were like, wait, when did Taylor Swift say? Oh, okay.
When did Taylor Swift sing about Charles Barkley?
No, I mean, I can get where they're going with that.
No, I get that. My bad. I should have said Taylor and Hyde Park
right away, so I knew it was Taylor and Hyde Park.
But I have heard that argument a lot. Well, the Bulls never really beat anybody. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, maybe that Sonics team was a little bit fluky, and the Bulls were so good that year. Nobody was going to stop them anyway.
But Arizona had players. Utah had players.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what are we talking about? Just getting to the championship, you had to go through the Knicks and you had to go through Cleveland. Cleveland had a good team.
Cleveland and the Knicks had good teams. Yeah, I don't know if I totally buy that. The eras were very different. It's kind of hard to compare. If Michael knew threes were as valuable as we take them to be today, he would have shot more threes. So would have Larry Bird. So would a lot of guys would have, Yerk.
And did they move the three-point line in on the corners, or when did they move the three-point line in?
I believe they moved it in.
And the corners toward the...
I'm trying to remember now what the original, if they ever moved from the original three-point line. They might have moved
it in a
little. Was it
23-9? I thought it was 23-9.
I really don't remember, actually.
All right, let's rush while you're looking through that.
Yeah, go ahead.
We got some football stuff to get to. Come on, guys. We're talking about stuff from years ago. All
right,
we're going to get to some Caleb stuff here, something that got my nipples all tingly, and something that got me a little bit worried.
Is it about the intangibles again?
No, it is not. I mean, not really. So Tom Pelissero did his own mock draft, but instead of, you know, picking where players are going to go, he went through the chatter around certain players, right? And he said this about Caleb Williams and the Bears. He said that right now, team officials have stayed in touch with Williams since the meetings via video chat sessions, just talking ball. There's still a matter of agreeing to a contract, which could be more complicated than a normal slotted deal, given the uniqueness of Caleb's draft process thus far. That's what worried me.
But the only problem ever arises in offset language, right?
Usually
that's
a problem.
Yeah. Offset language, yes.
And the thing that got my nipples tingly, it says, But sources say the quarterback's conversations with the Bears have been very frank and positive. The Williams camp sent the message early about what it wanted: investment in infrastructure to help Caleb reach his next goal of chasing Tom Brady and winning Super Bowls. And the Bears have so far delivered.
What's he want? His own parking spot? An on-ramp to the facility? Yeah, what's he want? What kind of infrastructure is he talking about?
You know
about?
Damn well what he wants, smartass.
That sounds like he's setting up for
a new ramp.
Sounds like he's setting up for that ownership stake already, like they talked about.
That ain't happening.
Season.
Don't start that rumor again.
He's dreaming.
Dumb rumor. The other thing with Caleb is some numbers have come out for Caleb Williams. He is the favorite to win Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Well, I think he'd be
he's
a heavy favorite.
Plus 350. The next closest is Marvin Harrison Jr. at plus 600. And then Malik Nabers at plus 650. And the total on FanDuel for Caleb Williams' regular season total passing yards is 3,350.5.
Wow.
Which is coincidentally the exact number that Justin Fields would have hit if he maintained his average and played 17 games.
If he didn't get hurt, no kidding. Oh, boy. Come on, Caleb. Got to go north of 3,350,
right? Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Got to go north of 3,350.
Will it be a disappointment if he doesn't?
I don't know. That's hard, because what if they win 11 games and he doesn't?
But I think victories are more important than stats, so the victory numbers are more important than stats.
Man, that's a good question, Adam.
Yeah, if he goes 11-6, I don't care what his numbers are. He starts every game.
You know, like what?
If he goes 11-6, that's it.
You know what I'd rather see if you're saying pick a stat? I'd rather see him have a 2-to-1 touchdown to interception ratio than the 3,400 yards.
I think 2-to-1 is not the thing. 3-to-1.5-to-1? Yeah, 3-to-1.
Because most Bears quarterbacks struggle to get to 2-to-1.
I got you 27-to-9.
3-to-1?
All right, how about
30-to-10? That's good. All right, 3-to-1.
Okay.
All right. 3-to-1. Right. I'd rather see 3-to-1. You're right. 2-to-1's getting too commonplace.
Our next quarterback odds discussion. Now, you can take this one of two ways. You could take this that Drake May is going to be taken second overall.
This has been an interesting development.
The odds that Jaden Daniels would be taken second by the Commanders as early as
2 days ago.
2 days ago. Was like minus 350.
Yeah.
And last night, they were even at minus 110 apiece.
Yes.
And you could either say, all right, Drake May is going to be taken second overall. But remember last year, Will Levis was projected to be number one for a little bit.
For like 24 hours.
And then he had that great drop. So you could take this either way.
I think Jaden Daniels will still be the second quarterback off the board. He's back to being a little bit of a favorite ahead of Drake May, but minus 130. And that's a far cry from where it was, like Adam said, 2 days ago, 2 weeks ago.
What's the J.J. McCarthy market look like?
So JJ's 20-to-1 to be the second pick. He's a little less than 3-to-1 to be the third pick. And he's a little less than 2-to-1 to be the fourth pick. If you think that Arizona's going to be on the move and somebody goes up to get JJ.
What about the fifth pick?
I don't have those odds in front of me, but I can find them for you in a second. I only had the top four, but
if you give
me a minute, I can find them.
Yeah, I think
I don't know, Adam, I think it's a lot like this time of year.
To be taken fifth, Malik Nabers is plus 230. Marvin Harrison Jr. is plus 300. Joe Alt is plus 400. JJ is plus 450.
Oh, wow. So it's like if he's not going fourth, he's going after fifth, right? That's what those odds
tell
you.
That's what it seems to say,
Absolutely. If a team, well, and that makes sense, duh, because the Chargers are five. It's assuming nobody's going to come in and the Chargers aren't moving out of that spot. They're not taking J.J. McCarthy, obviously. I don't know what to make of it other than it was a weird week. Remember the Washington Commanders had all those guys there together? I still think it's strange. Like, Yurko might have summed it up best. New ownership, new management, doesn't matter. It's still Washington. That's a weird move, if you ask me. I don't know. And I guess Jaden Daniels' agent didn't really like it. And so that's probably where some of this is coming from. I'd still bet if I had to. I don't get involved in that market. I would bet that Jaden Daniels goes second. That's what I would bet. What else?
I just care what the Bears are doing.
All right. On ESPN.com, there is an article with Jordan Reed, Matt Miller, and Field Yates, who will join us on Monday to talk about the draft. And I want you guys, they went through what they're hearing, chatter that they're hearing leading into next week. I want you guys to rate this 5 most believable, 1 least believable.
5 most believable.
All right. Which NFL team's first round pick could surprise everyone on Thursday? Matt Miller says the Las Vegas Raiders. One constant I keep hearing from people I trust is that the Raiders really like Washington quarterback Michael Penix Jr. and could select him 13th overall.
5 is most believable, you said?
Yeah.
2.
I'd say 1.
Okay.
1, so you guys don't believe it. Okay.
Yeah, don't believe it at all.
And then all 3 of the Jordan Reed, Matt Miller, and Field Yates chimed in on this one. How legit is Malik Nabers over Marvin Harrison Jr.? And all of them say it's very real.
A 4 on that.
3.5.
So your goes almost in the middle. 3.5, close to 4. Year 4,
yeah.
That they believe that there is real talk out there that Malik Nabers will be taken before Marvin Harrison Jr.
Wouldn't bet it. I also don't think it's fake. I think it's real.
I think it's real.
Okay. All right. And then also there's a lot of Drake May believers out there. In a call with an NFC North scout this week, they talked about the North Carolina quarterback's upside and physical traits. The scout believes that May is the clear-cut number 2. So this goes back to what we were just talking about.
I'm going to say I'm a little less believable on that. I'm going to say Jaden Daniels goes 2nd. We'll probably be wrong on all this. That's the draft. I'll say that's like a 2.5, Adam.
God, you took my number.
We're in agreement on that one.
2.5.
That's all right.
All right.
Nice.
That's it.
All right, what else?
That's the lunch rush.
The lunch rush. I got a few other NFL things we can talk about, too. Just speaking of Jordan Reed and Matt Miller and some of the value stuff that they were looking at as they tried to predict how the board is going to go. Starting next Thursday, under a week away now. And remember, next Friday, a week from today, we're going to be at Buffalo Wild Wings in Woodridge. Waddle and Sylvie will be there after us. So we'll do our show live, and then Waddle and Sylvie will follow us. So a long day, long broadcast day for ESPN Chicago at the Buffalo Wild Wings, right by Seven Bridges Golf Course in Woodridge, to recap round 1 of the draft next Friday. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko. Listen to us now, live on the ESPN Chicago app.
Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN Chicago.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Ho.
Yeah, only a couple of weeks left here until the Kentucky Derby, so this is it. Entering the home stretch of your chance to qualify when you hear the call to the post. So caller 50 right now will qualify. You also get the $150 gift card that you could use towards the Twin Spires app. Make a little money. Jim Miller gave us some ponies for Hawthorne. The Illinois Derby's back this year, Yurk. It's on Sunday,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah, it's a qualifier for the Preakness now. Did you know that?
I don't think I knew that.
You can get points to go into the Preakness. So I think there's a lot of horses that Baffert is sending to the Preakness.
I would think, because they can't run in the Derby.
They can't run in at Churchill Downs. So
try to appeal that. And
they are eligible, though, to run at the Preakness in Pimlico.
At Baltimore.
In Maryland.
So, the Derby's back. The Illinois Derby's back this weekend. And Jim Miller gave us ponies for Sunday, the thoroughbred meet underway at Hawthorne. And you can make some money on the Twin Spires app. And most importantly, you'll be qualified to win one of just a couple of trips with us on the bus down to Louisville to go to Woodford Reserve later in May. It'll be a fun trip. Let's get out to the CarX Tire and Auto Guest Hotline and say to Mike North for the bonus play. He hit it last week. Went 4-0 as a team last week. We gave you some best plays and talked a lot of basketball. A lot of postseason stuff, like a little Stanley Cup playoffs, a lot of basketball, football, next week's draft on this week's episode of The Odds Couple. You can get that now on the ESPN Chicago app. What's up, Mikey?
What's going on, guys? And your great, great joke and great play on the happy birthday to Carmen. Outstanding.
I thought it was at my actual birthday. I said, no.
I did.
The boys got him.
I talked to you in Italian. I don't think you knew what I said, but I said, you're a stallion. May you have many more. I guess it was, may you have many more tiramisu. I have no idea.
That's right.
But I won't forget your birthday. It's in December now.
December. Yeah, Mike sent me a nice note. I said, Mike, they're busting my balls.
That was awesome.
Hilarious.
Anyway, We're down to brass tacks now, fellas. You know what? My team, the Pittsburgh Pirates, they're back home. And what's crazy, they've played 19 games, and they've only played 5 at home, 14 on the road, yet they have an 11-8 record. Now, what's crazy about this is that they're going to be playing Boston. Boston's pitcher has been announced by some guy named Brian Hanlon, I think. But Pittsburgh's pitcher hasn't been announced yet. They're favored by 115. Don't hesitate, man. You know what? We talked about it today, that credit card debts are rising because a lot of the people are losing at sports betting. Well, they're not listening to us. They're not listening to the bonus pick, and they're not listening to the odds couple. Just take Pittsburgh tonight. Carm, I hope you jump in. Be interested, and let's go to work. It's the Pittsburgh Pirates. They're unbeatable right now. Let's go to work.
Let's do the Pirates. Love it. Mikey, thanks, buddy. Have a great weekend.
All right, guys.
We'll talk to you next Friday. The Pirates are the play for the bonus play.
Pirates.
At some point here, the Pirates are going to be calling up their top prospect, who he's impressive. Paul Skeens, is it LSU?
They're trying to artificially.
Yeah. Well, he was just drafted last year, but he doesn't.
So, how many more games do they need before he all gets his seasoning? Is there a requisite amount of time, Carm?
I'm not as surprised with pitchers, though. It is, you know, it's a little bit different with the position players. It's a little like what they did to Jackson Holliday. That's kind of silly.
But the point is, how many more games do we have to wait?
He's voicing his frustration at how few innings they're letting him throw.
Yeah.
You know, because everybody's so careful. And then it doesn't even matter. They get hurt anyway, Yerk. But he's another, like, big max velo guy. It's like 100 miles an hour every time. But, boy, has he been impressive. He's got, like, 32 strikeouts in 23 innings, I think, or something, at AAA. It might even be more than that. Like, it's completely crazy what he's doing at AAA right now. And he'll be up soon. Pirates have been a little bit of a story here. But they were last April, and then they finished 16 games.
Lost a couple games in a row, right?
They kind of backslide
a little bit.
They did. They'll backslide.
So the Cubs get into second place there for a little
bit. Cubs are in second now, right? It'll be Cubs-Reds, I think, when it's all said and done. 312-332-3776. You can ring us up. We got more conversation coming up after 2. Crosstalk at 2:30. Mark in Lincoln Park was our qualifier. Only a couple of chances left here as the Kentucky Derby is just a couple of weeks away. It's Carmen in New York. We'll be right back.